can trust the Lord today is because He's already rose from the dead.
Amen.
And because He is risen from the dead, we shall too rise from the dead. We read last week that the last enemy of man that shall be destroyed is death. We all fight death. There is no doubt about that. But I'm telling you, we are just passing through this life. Outside of the coming of the Lord, as we call the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4 and the end of 1 Corinthians 15, outside of that, we're all destined to die and we're going to be buried. But the Bible says we're going to raise from the dead.
Amen.
Now, this morning I want to preach about the nature of that resurrection, what that looks like, and how we can get an illustration even from nature about the resurrection that will take place. When we get done with this body, this body is corrupt. This body will be sown in corruption, but it's going to be raised in incorruption. It's going to be sown in dishonor, but it's going to be raised in glory. And that new body's not going to break down like this one does. And it deteriorates, and it eventually dies. But in verse 35, I call this the nature of the resurrection. These people in this church have had some problems. There's a Gnostic doctrine. Listen, if you're a Gnostic and you believe that death is the end, then of course you're not going to know about the nature of the resurrection. But if you read the Bible, which I'm glad that the Bible gives us the answer, if you believe the Bible, you know that there will be a resurrection of the dead. But we're not Gnostic and we're not unbelieving. We are Bible believers. But in verse 35, he gives another question. He's already asked, there's already been a question in verse number 12 that has been given. And now there's another question that rises from this church. And I thought about this yesterday. I know I'm going to read in a minute. I was thinking about this as I was meditating upon this. You know, if this church hadn't been so messed up, we wouldn't have had a lot of good Bible answers that we do right now. But they did. They had some issues. And because of that, the Apostle Paul wrote these words in verse 35. But some man will say, somebody's always saying something. But some man will say, well, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Then I like what Paul says. I wouldn't say thou fool. I'd say, hey, you idiot. But here's the nature. Thou fool, he says. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. Everybody get this? You put two pieces of corn in the ground, it don't just come out two ears. It comes out a whole stalk. It looks totally different, but yet it's the same. It's the same, but it's different. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there are one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. And the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. He also gives another illustration of nature in verse 41 by saying, there's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star different from another star in glory. And isn't it amazing that there are millions and billions of stars, but yet anybody that studies the stars understands that every one of those stars is totally different from the other. They're all different, but yet they're the same, but yet they're different. So also, if you look at all this, so get all of this. I've given you nature several times here. So also the nature, if we could put it like that, of resurrection. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. We can say amen to that. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, But it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as it is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as if we have borne the image of the earthly, now get that, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You cannot receive a glorified body without salvation in Jesus Christ. You will never be raised incorruptible without a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is getting them to understand, because of the first four verses, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which includes the resurrection, of course, and that is positive proof. After we saw that there were many that saw the resurrected Lord, then there is clear evidence of the resurrection. There are motivations to the resurrection. There are implications to the resurrection. And now we're going to look at this morning the nature of that glorified resurrection that Jesus has already come out of the grave. But because of Him, we being the first fruits, that's the order of the resurrection, we too shall bear the heavenly. This earth is cursed. This world is under a curse. This world is full of sin and wickedness. But it won't be long now till we're on the other side. Father, help us to understand the nature of the resurrection, not only of Jesus Christ, but of each one of us who are saved by the grace of God today. Lord, I think about going back to next week and and the motivation of understanding the resurrection, that we should be concerned about souls, we should be concerned about our service, and we should be concerned about our separation to You, Lord, because one day, in the not too distant future, I believe that the eastern sky is going to split wide open and the Lord is going to call us up out of here. But if not, we're going to die. We're going to go into the ground, every one of us. It is something that is our enemy. It is something that we fight. It is something I'm pretty convinced of. Once we get on the other side, we're going to be so gloriously happy about that. God, help us today as we look at this nature of the resurrection, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am reminded back in John chapter number 11. Jesus Christ has been gone from Lazarus' death about 4 days, and He's making His way to that area where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lives. I am reminded that when He finally shows up, He wants them to, everybody's going to understand that Lazarus has been dead for 4 solid days. And Martha comes to Him and begins to say things like this: "Lord, if You'd have been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." He's talking about He's going to rise again. And she said, "Yes, I know, Lord, that I realize that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus makes a great declaration about Himself when He says in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Not only am I the resurrection, I am the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Everybody get this? "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me," listen to this, "shall never die. Believest thou this?" We don't die. When we die, we just transform. Jesus said that. Jesus made it very clear. So I think about that. I think about Paul here, as he has been answering these questions about the resurrection, like verse 12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, How say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, while we have made some statements like maybe there was an influence of the Sadducees, or maybe there was an influence of the Gnostics of that day. There were the Greeks, of course, who did not believe in a resurrection. And we know that when Paul preached on Mars Hill in Athens to that culture, that they begin to laugh and to mock when Paul began to tell them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My friend, if there was no resurrection, there is no salvation. If there is no salvation, then we might as well eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Those are all things that have been spoken about in this particular chapter. So far, we've seen that there's much evidence of the resurrection. Hey, if you had 500 people willing to testify in a court of law, you would say that is proof beyond a shadow of a doubt. You would say that that is evidence beyond any doubt. And of course, there was 500. But then there was Paul we read about in Arabia. We read about Peter and James and John and the other apostles. They saw the Lord. And here's the thing about it. They didn't just see the Lord. They saw the glorified Lord. They saw Jesus Christ in His glorified state. That's the nature of the resurrection. You see, when we raise from the dead, it will not be in this corrupt body that we're dealing with right now. We will not. That will not be it. But yet, we will be the person that we are. Isn't that something? We're going to be the same person. We're going to have similarities it's like yesterday. If you have a phone and you have millions of pictures on it like I do. I mean, I probably pay money every month to have those pictures on there. I don't like to get rid of them. They're there for the eternity, I reckon. But there's a thing on the iPhone that every day that shows up. This happened 5 years ago, or this happened 10 years ago, or you took this. And back in 2012 or 13, I happened to be at my mom and dad's house, and it was one of those times when I was going through the photo albums, and I started taking pictures of the photos. I started taking pictures of my mom and my dad, and when me and my brother were little, and when I played football, and when I had them big black horn rimmed glasses in the fourth grade. I took a picture of that. I took a picture of my senior picture. And I showed it to Robin yesterday. And Robin goes, "Whoa." And she said something like this. "Well, it kind of looks like you. It's similar." I said, "It's me." Everybody getting this? That's the way the resurrection is. We are the same person. Have you ever seen a picture of a little kid, or you see somebody, you maybe your grandkids, or you see somebody like your mom or your dad? I remember there's a picture of my dad, and I can see him, and he's got little overalls on, and he's about 8 years old. And I look at that picture, and I go, "Yeah, that's my dad. I can see my dad." Now it's to the place when I stumble into the bathroom and look into the mirror when I'm fog, I go, "Oh, there's my dad." There's a similarity. Here Paul is saying, this is the nature of the resurrection. It's going to be different, but it's going to be the same. That's what he's saying. It's not going to be corrupt. It's not going to be dishonorable. It's not going to be like that. No, it's going to be glorified. It's going to be totally glorified. So let's think about this. There is a clear evidence of the resurrection. There is a clear order to the resurrection. There are clear motivations to the resurrection. And if we believe in the resurrection, a person will want to be concerned about souls. They will desire to serve the Lord. They will desire to live a separated life. Being a part of a church, defending the faith and purity in one's life, listen to me, it's all because of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, none of this would be possible. And so we look now today at what is it going to be like? What's it going to be like when we raise from the dead? Verse 35 is the question now that is being asked, because Paul said, "But some will say, well, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?" It's a natural question for a natural man. But if it's a foolish question, if you've studied the Bible, Because faith makes things very simple. Now, we know this church had problems with many things, and now the resurrection, and no doubt. Now, listen, without those problems, we wouldn't have the great resurrection chapter. How many more messages? I don't know. But I'm telling you, there's evidences, there's order, there's implications, there's nature, there's the rapture, there's belief. And when you get down to it, God said, now because of that, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord for your, before, well, now I just lost that last part, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. Sometimes we're in trial. Sometimes we're in tribulation. Sometimes in the human nature, in the human flesh, we say, is it worth it? And I say to you, based on 1 Corinthians 15, yes, yes, yes! Don't stop being a soul winner. Don't stop serving the Lord. Don't stop living a life that is pleasing to Him. Don't do it. Keep on keeping on, because it's not vain. We don't have to understand everything. We just have to trust the One who knows everything. So the first question is how. So the first question he's going to deal with is how are the dead raised up? Well, let me just give you some things. How is the dead raised up? Well, first of all, death is the greatest example of all. What do you mean by that? Well, look at verse number 36. He said, listen, you bozo. I like putting things in Ozarkian terms rather than what was written in their culture. Thou fool, don't you understand that that which sowest is not quickened except it die? This is an illustration of nature. Grain of wheat goes into the ground. What happens to it? Dies. Now, personally, I use corn because I'm telling you, corn, corn, corn. I think my dad thought the whole world should be fed corn when I was a kid. Rows and rows of corn. Two corns in at a time. One step. Two corns in at a time. How many times did I hear my dad say this? How many times did my dad illustrate this to it? And he would always say, boy, you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes, I understand. Now two at a time. Two corns. Because my dad was going to do other things. Two corns. One step, two corns, one step, two corns, one step, two corns, one step. That's why I was able to go in the military. Very simple instructions. Do what I say when I say it. Two corns, one step. And then my dad would come through there. I'd be on one row. My brother would be on the one other row. Two corns, one step, two corns, one step, two corns, one step. That's still in my mind. PTSD, I believe, as a child. And my dad would come through there on that tractor, and those rows would be covered up. And then we didn't do nothing. Everybody understand this? Those corns had to die in that ground. That seed had to die. That seed began to do things that a Tennessee boy can't understand. You know, I'm not going to talk about germination and miscegenation and all the things that the seed did. I don't know. I just know that it died and then it began to come up. And when it came up out of that ground, I always knew this. It was planted sometime in May normally, and it came up around July. And when it came up, oh, by the way, when it came up, then there would be weeds and you have to go put it, but it would come up and it would be different. But yet it would be the same. Totally different. Now, two corn, one step, you can't eat two corn, one step. But when it comes up out of the ground and you begin to take those ears of corn, oh, listen, don't get me started on corn now. Corn on the cob. I don't understand people who don't eat corn on the cob. They must have teeth problems if they don't eat corn on the cob. Butter, salt, just lay me out right there. It's so much better. Two corn, one step ain't nothing like stalk corn with all the things and you eat it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Here's what Paul's saying. Listen now, fool. Death is the example. Grain of wheat goes in the ground, dies, it rises out of the ground, it produces a crop of corn or wheat or whatever it's been fact. In fact, it is foolish to not understand the illustration of nature. We know what is planted is not what comes out of the ground. It's completely different. Verse 37. And thou, that which thou sowest not, that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. Here's what Jesus said in John 12. He said, verily, verily, John 12, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, here's what you got to understand. That the mystery of the nature of the resurrection is same as the mystery of a crop that has been planted, whether it's wheat or whether it's corn. To say I don't believe in a resurrection of the body would be as one who says, I don't believe in a harvest. Well, of course you do. You know that it happens in the spring in our culture, in our state, in the state. You know that it is planted in the spring, and you know that there's a harvest in the fall. That is just nature. Well, my friend, if God does that with the nature, and He makes that very explanation with this body, we got to understand that this body dies. This body is corrupted. This body goes in the ground. What comes out, glory, hallelujah, ain't the same. All gardens, think about this, all gardens are a witness to the resurrection. Now, folks, listen to this. It's a mystery. But it's also a reality. Why is it a mystery? No one can explain the crop process. We do pray for rain. I mean, you know, we plant the wheat, we plant the corn, we plant the soybeans. That's Missouri. Now, Missouri is a land of soybeans and corn and wheat. Kansas is a land of wheat. I mean, everybody's, you go to North Dakota, the blackest soil you'll ever see. They got the biggest crops of potatoes you'll ever see in your life. I believe Chick-fil-A gets all of their waffle fries from North Dakota out of the ground. And I'm going to tell you, waffle fries are a whole lot better than them taters that just come out and got all dirty and all that. It's the nature of the resurrection. It's a mystery. Because when we plant the seed, we don't make it grow. God does. When our body goes into the ground, we don't raise it incorruptible. God does. Now, let me just tell you that this. It happens every year. And look at verse number 43. Look at this. 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Only God can do that. It is sown in weakness. We know that. It is raised in power. Only God can do that. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Only God can do that. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And by the way, they're different. They're totally different. To think that our body that goes into the ground will come out the same is not true. It comes back in the glorified state. Now, when you think about Jesus Christ, and you think about His earthly ministry, think about this. He got tired. He grew weary. He laid in the boat and was asleep and the water was coming in. And the disciples said, Lord, carest not thou that we perish? And He woke up and said, where is your faith? Peace be still. Everything stopped and they go, even the nature does whatever He says. Yes, He's God. But He was also man. And He became weary. When He came by the glorified body, when He came forth from the resurrection, He would come. He'd just walk through the door on a Sunday night and say, hey, fellas, how you doing? There was no limitations. There's limitations to our body. There's limitations to what we can do. There's limitations. I can only be at one place at a time. You can only be at one place at a time. But in the glorified state, we can be in California, be called to Jerusalem, and be there just like that. Won't that be awesome? That's the difference. That's the nature. The seed must cease to exist in its original form as a seed before it can come to life as a plant. Before Jesus Christ could bear the fruit of salvation, He had to die. Likewise, before we can participate in the fruit of the resurrection, the order of the resurrection, or bear fruit in His service, guess what? We have to die. When Jesus was crucified, His earthly body died. It ceased to be an earthly body. Just as with growing crops, there has to be an end to the old before there can be the beginning of the new. In the case of men, One body will die to give life to a glorified body. That's the nature of the resurrection. They say, how can this be? Well, how can nature be? How can a seed go in the ground? How can a seed die? How can a seed come forth? Well, God will do it. Both in the growing of the crops and the resurrection of bodies, there's a difference between the original and the final. But yet they're the same. But yet they're different. The seed loses its identity as a seed and becomes more like a plant. But the seed itself that was sown, whether it's wheat or corn, looks nothing like the mature plant, the body which is to be, is the same. Now think about this, like when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, His glorified body was radically different from the one which He died in. What came out of the grave was different from what was placed in the grave. It was no longer limited by time, space, material, substance. And during the appearances of Jesus Christ, He went from one place to another and He didn't have to travel in the physical sense. He appeared, He disappeared at will. He entered rooms without opening the door. He was just there. That's the glorified body. In the earthly body, He didn't do any of these things. He was limited. Resurrection changes everything. And by the way, you're not going to be raised incorruptible unless you're saved by the grace of God. And when He returns, all resurrected bodies will be changed marvelously and radically different glory. The question number two then is, well, what body do they come? Well, what body do they come? Well, listen, let me tell you the difference between the earthly body and the glorified body. The earthly body is temporal. The glorified body is eternal. In spite of the differences, there is nevertheless a continuance between the old and the new. Look at verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they which are the heavenly. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Verse 38 says, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed his own body. You see, when the seed dies, it's a radical difference. It takes on a new form. A wheat seed does not just become barley, a flax seed does not become corn, and a wheat seed does not become barley. Just like there's a difference between angels and there's a difference between men. There's a difference between fish and there's a difference between animals. We're not animals. We're not fish. We're not scaly. We're not angels. But yet Jesus said in the glorified body, in some sense, we shall be like the angels. We will not be given into marriage. There will be certain things that we will not do. But I'm just telling you, God has given each type of seed a body of its own. The identity of that seed continues until it's a full plant. And after Jesus was raised, no one really recognized Him unless He revealed Himself to them. Like on the road to Emmaus. He said, what are you fellas talking about? And they said, well, what are you new in Jerusalem? Did you not hear about Jesus Christ? He said, well, tell me about it. And they began to say a few things. And Jesus began to expound unto them the Scriptures. He began to show them that all of the Old Testament and the prophecies that were of the Old Testament were actually speaking about Him. And then in the last, He identified Himself and they go, oh, wow! Did not our hearts burn within us? When He came into the disciples' room, where the disciples were and they were scared, they were like, whoa, we recognize You, but He goes, see my hands? See the scars of my hands? You want to see the piercing of my side? I go, it is the Lord. It's just like the picture that I love, the pictures of my grandkids. I don't want to embarrass any of my grandchildren, but I like it when those things pop up when they were 5 or 6 years ago, and it's a radical difference between... You know, there's radical differences between a 3-year-old and like a 12-year-old, and these radical differences take place, but yet you look at them and go, yeah, that's a little booger, yeah. But they make changes. Folks, this body is corrupted. You can do everything in the world. I try to do everything I can, humanly speaking, except don't tell me I can't drink coffee and eat hamburgers. Outside of that, I try to do the best that I can with what I got. But in the end, it's corrupt. It breaks down. It's flawed. Not the glorified body. Just as on earth there is a difference in bodies, so is true in heaven. All flesh is not the same. But our resurrected bodies as believers will have a continuance with the bodies that we have now. Our bodies will die and they will change form and they will still be our bodies. Surely it is not too hard to believe that the God who has worked this process daily through the centuries in creation of plants cannot do it with our own body. Folks, this ain't the end. There's different fleshes, different bodies, different glories. There's a difference in the earthly body than the heavenly body. By the way, no two stars are alike and no two people are alike. Fish, flowers, blades of grass, human personality is not wiped out. It's just preserved with distinctions and differences. Just as we are different here, we shall be different there. 42, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Listen, folks, there's a difference between the earthly and the heavenly. Those that have gone on before us, they're not the ones that are sad. We that are left behind are sad and heartbroken and grieve. Yes, we do. It's a part of who we are, human. But brother, when we get on the other side, we're going to literally say, glory, hallelujah. In this body, there's dishonor, there's sickness, there's disease, there's decay, there's pain, there's suffering, there's blemish. In heaven, there's honor, there's glory. There's heaven, there's fellowship with Christ, there's jewels in Jesus' crown. In this body it is weakness, there's sin and failure and full of trouble. But in heaven it's power, no limitations, no defects. That's what the Lord did for us. That's why the gospel is so powerful. Amen. There's also a distinction that is very essential. Look at verse 44 again. It is a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. We're earthy, earthy, earthy. But we have to die. We have to be buried. We have to come forth. And when we do, we won't be earthy anymore. We'll be heavenly. And verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. In other words, when we get to heaven, we're going to know each other. We're going to go, hey. And I do believe, personally, if you look at the Old Testament, study the homecomings and the things that happened, there was always a welcoming committee. There was always a welcoming party. Hey, listen, there's going to be a welcoming party for us. But right now, we're natural. We think natural. We think earthy. But yet the Bible says, hey, mind things that are heavenly. Why does the Lord tell us that? Because we're going to spend more time in heaven than we do on the earth. Let me tell you that. But the distinction is very essential. Natural body is governed. Has to be. Listen, you know what we have to do with our body right now? We have to keep it under subjection. Can't let it run wild. You can't let the body do whatever it wants. You would be all over the place. It has to be kept in subjection. It has to be disciplined. You've got to have a disciplined life, folks. Listen, if you don't have a disciplined life, you won't read your Bible, you won't pray, you won't witness, you won't go to church, you won't do the things of God, you won't have a testimony, you'll just do whatever you want. No, you've got to have discipline. Paul said that I bring my body into subjection. lest that I become a castaway and I be placed on a shelf. And I'm telling you, the day in which we live, there's people that are doing whatever they want, and you can't get away with that as a child of God. This old body cooperates with the world and the devil and the flesh, but listen, the spiritual body is governed by the Spirit. The new birth gives us a new beginning. Oh, now listen, you got to understand this. Verse number 50 is one of the key verses, and it's what it says. Brethren, flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. What is Paul saying? Well, listen, there's the evidences of the resurrection. There's the witnesses of the resurrection. There's the order of the resurrection. There's the implications of the resurrection. It is implied that if you truly believe in the resurrection, you live your life pleasing to the Lord. You're concerned about other people. You are concerned about others. You want to live a disciplined Christian life. You want to live a separated life. You want to serve God to the best of your ability. So a lot of people say they believe in the resurrection, but they don't live it. They don't live like it. But then God says this, Paul says, let's make this very clear. You need to understand that flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So what is he really saying? He's saying you've got to be saved by the grace of God. Because I want to show you something in Revelation chapter 20. This will be a good place to kind of show you this and wrap this up. Revelation chapter 20, John writes this revelation that he sees, and he says in Revelation 20, in verse number 6. Verse number 5 says, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. What he's saying is, praise God for those who are saved by God's grace. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So if you're saved, you're going to get this glorified body. If you're not saved, you're going to have corruption for eternity. Because when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan's going to be loosed out of his prison. He's going to deceive the nations, the four quarters of the earth. But drop down to verse number 11. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Now listen, there's no place found for them. Now these are the people that are not saved. They do not know Christ as their Savior. They do not have a glorified body. They were not with Jesus Christ in the millennial reign. They were not kings and priests for that 1,000 years. These are people that died without Christ. They're in the ground. They're corrupted. And then he says this. But God was able to take that, verse number 12. "But I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Now listen to this. "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." Verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Look at this. "This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." How many times have we heard from this pulpit, you either die once and are born twice, or you're born once and you die twice. There's nothing else. Everybody's born physically. John chapter 3 in our Bible reading in the last day, yesterday, Nicodemus, "How can a man be born again? How can he be born another time? How can he enter into his mother's womb?" No, Jesus said, no, listen. "That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit." You must be born again. So you're either born, everybody's born physically, and everybody has to die physically, but really we don't have to die if we know the Lord. It's just a transformation. Our body goes into the ground. It's sown in corruption. but it's raised in incorruption. Jesus died and was buried. He died a bodily. And by the way, you go to the tomb over there in Israel. There's no tomb. There's no body in that tomb. It's a different body. What kind of body is it, preacher? Glorified body. I just want to die once. Physically. I don't want to die spiritually. Because if you die spiritually, you just read about the great white throne judgment. We're all going to have to die the physical death. Outside of the coming of the Lord. But we don't have to die the spiritual death. You can be born again. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you are guaranteed your order in the resurrection. Well, how can that happen? Don't get me started again. I don't want to start all over. Just as a wheat of corn or a corn dies in the ground, so shall we die, be placed in the ground. How does all that take place? We don't have to understand it. We just have to know that it's true. I don't have to know how that corn comes out of the ground for me to put butter and salt on it to eat it. I just thank God for it. So for my glorified body and all those who have gone before us. If you're not saved by the grace of God, you will die in corruption. But if you're saved by the grace of God, ye shall be, as the Bible says once again, you shall be raised incorruptible. You shall be understanding that the resurrection of the dead is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. Which one do you have? Well, I only got the natural body right now, but because of my salvation, I'm guaranteed the spiritual body. How am I guaranteed that? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because He raised from the dead, I shall raise from the dead in my own order, at God's order. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? This body is corrupt, but not forever. Oh, we'll know each other. We might look at it like this, but we go, oh yeah, I see that picture. I saw that picture when you were a baby. And you know, if you just look at somebody's picture as a baby and then look at them when they're, you go, yeah, I can see that. And then when somebody's real young, why do we always think we look better now than we did back then? I don't know why we do that. But we do. Yeah, I'm a little bit older, but man, I can't believe I look like that. Well, you did. But we'll recognize each other. Hey, and listen. We might as well get along down here together right now because we're going to get along in heaven. We might have to move down the street from some people, but I mean, just telling you. It's going to be glorious. Amen. And by the way, it ain't going to be long. I have never seen the world like it is right now. Ever. Lord's coming back. And He could come back today. Let's all stand this morning, every head.